Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue with At Your Service here on KMOX. It's hour number two. I'm Mike Claiborne. We'll be here for the next hour, or maybe a little less, and we'll have a chance to get into some very interesting subjects. As I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Amanda Doyle is going to visit with us, and we'll talk a little bit about the 100 things to do in St. Louis before you die. And this covers a lot of different things. I'll give you a little bit of a heads up. I mean, we're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about historic places. There are a lot of fun things that you probably either took for granted or maybe just didn't know about. So we'll have a chance to visit with her and get her thoughts on some really fun things to do. And with the holiday season just around the corner, maybe there's something that has your name written on it. And so we invite you to stick around for that. Gerald Tartavian is going to visit with us, and Gerald is involved with a group from Harvard that is publishing a paper with regards to college graduates and their impact and how many jobs are out there that aren't being filled. And in some cases, it has a lot more to do with perhaps being overqualified, and also the fact that they're learning that people without college educations can be more productive in a lot of situations. So we'll get a chance to get deeper into that a little later in the show. And, of course, as I mentioned, Jennifer Jolly, she's an award-winning writer. She's also what they call, you know, everybody's got a title these days. Her title is Consumer Tech and Lifestyle Columnist, and she's really good at it. We're going to visit with her about the fact that, you know, with the storms and the hurricanes that have ravished the Caribbean, which is like a $60 billion travel industry, people are wondering, well, what are we going to do now? It's all torn up. Well, not so fast. There are a lot of fun things that are going on there. The rebuild is underway in some cases. And then there were some islands that really weren't touched. And we're going to tell you about that and how you can still get involved. Me personally, I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean over the years. And I think I've hit just about every island, at least every fun island. And one of the things that I've learned, if you really want to do it the fun way, you do it on a cruise. I do that Cardinal cruise every year, and I'll try and find a way to do another cruise during the course of the year. But the reason why I'm a big cruise guy is because you only unpack once. You can see various ports of call and see different countries and go to different cities. You can shop. You can eat ashore. There's so many things to do. But we'll talk with Jennifer about some of the things she can suggest that you look into. And the cruise season is underway. All the ships are now going to be sailing there. But one of the concerns you may have is the fact that maybe there won't be as much hotel space because a lot of cities have still issues with regard to the rebuild because of the hurricane. So we'll have a chance to talk with Jennifer, get her thoughts on some fun places to go and some fun things to do in the Caribbean. So we'll talk with her later in the hour. So we invite you to stick around for that. Few other things to get into. Well, hopefully we'll have a little time to get into some other things that have run across my desk over the last 24 hours or so that we'll have a chance to hopefully get into. If not, I'll file them away and we'll get together and we'll do this again down the road. But we invite you to stick around today. It was a fun hour, the first one. The impeachment thing, we've already received some people that were intrigued by it. That's a pretty interesting word, as I mentioned earlier, that you really have to pay attention to and really know what it's all about. And I think Barbara Radnofsky really kind of shed some light on that. And she's got a great book out. Again, the name of that book was Citizen's Guide to Impeachment. So you can have a better idea, or better yet, keep score at home the next time this thing rolls around. So that was fun. And, of course, we talked about the water and also being on the run. We've got some fun people that we're going to be talking to in the very near future. We're efforting to get Bob Schieffer on. And I know you may remember Bob Schieffer from his days at CBS. He's kind of a consultant now. He's one of those guys that pops in from time to time on CBS. We're hoping to get him. He just came out with a new book. There's a guy that's seen a lot and done a lot in his career. And we've got a few other tricks up our sleeves as far as some people we think will be fun to have on KMOX. So We invite you to stick around for those shows. They'll be coming up when we don't have football on Sunday afternoon. The Chiefs are playing so well. They're always playing in prime time, and that's good. But when it's good where we can have a chance to visit with you on Sunday, we love doing it, and we hope you enjoy it as well. So what we'll do now is take our first break. As I mentioned, when we come back, we'll find out about the 100 things to do in St. Louis. That's right, the 100 things you can do in St. Louis before you die. And as I said, I'm not planning on dying anytime soon. I would think you would feel the same way. So now we've got some things to look forward to as we come back with Amanda Doyle after we take this break on Your Voice here in St. Louis and, in my opinion, around the world, KMOX. Sunday afternoon in St. Louis. And if you've lived in St. Louis, have had visitors in town, you always want to find some fun things to do. And there are a lot of great things in St. Louis to do, certainly. With that said, you have to have some sort of organization. If you haven't read the first edition of Amanda E. Doyle's book, it's called 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die, you're in luck. The second edition is out, and Amanda is with us today. Good to visit with you again, Amanda. How are you?
I'm just doing great, and thanks for having me back. I like to have a reason to be back.
Well, so you know good. What? And the reason is because you continue to find great things to do in St. Louis. So let's get right to it. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, so I spent a lot of my writing career working for the Visitor magazine in St. Louis. So I was always kind of professionally figuring out what to tell people, where to eat, where to shop, what to do when they're visiting town. And just like anybody else, you realize I don't actually do many of these things in my daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So it might not be a bad idea to give myself a little kick in the pants to do it. So that's where the idea came from. And then, you know, people like lists, so 100 things, great. You can move down the checklist and see which ones you can check off.
I'm sure when you started this, you got some help from different people. Were you surprised at some of the suggestions you were getting and the input from those who thought they were really cool that maybe we just never heard about?
For sure. I mean, that's, to me, the most fun part about writing a book is having an excuse to ask everybody I know and then everybody they know what they would put on a list like that, because you do. You get a lot of variety. You get a lot of things that you think, really? Is that really something you would tell people to do? And then if you go check it out, it's kind of like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that there's so many well-kept secrets, not necessarily by fault, but it just happens that way. But as you've learned, and you're learning firsthand, there are some fun places. So give me an idea of some of the best-kept secrets that you've run across that, once you have a chance to experience it, you say, man, I don't know why I didn't think about this before.
Right. Well, and, you know, your secret is somebody else's reality, right? So, for example, the first time that anybody ever took me down to the South Broadway Athletic Club for wrestling, I was amazed. Now, it wasn't a secret to the hundreds of people who were there, but it was my first time. So this is just like Saturday morning wrestling was on TV when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad guys, villains, good guys. All kinds of gussied up girl fights and everything. And it's live. It happens in a ring at South Broadway Athletic Club. There are storylines, grudge matches that carry over from month to month. It's a real scene and a total treat if you haven't seen it.
Amanda Doyle is with us. Her book is entitled 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die. It's a second edition. So give me some new items that have made the list.
Well, there's a bunch of new stuff, which is why I got to do a second edition. One of my favorites that I think people probably have heard about, but they may not have been yet, is the National Blues Museum that opened downtown. This is a world-class museum. It is so well done. And, you know, St. Louis is a little bit maybe late to the game in terms of capitalizing on our really incredible music history. You know, Memphis has done it. Detroit has done it. Chicago has done it. So we're a little bit playing catch-up. But it makes our story no less compelling. We have some amazing musicians who have come from and through here, and I think it's great. We have so many working musicians still in this town. You can go out any night of the week and hear just really incredible music. So the National Blues Museum is one of the things that's new to the list this year.
All right, and I've had a chance to sample that, and it is a very well thought out place to hang out and really learn about the history of blues. And there's some good food right next door to it as well, so that makes it a fun
place. Oh,
yeah,
you can hit Sugar Fire next door and have the full-on day.
Speaking of food, I know that's one of the great things we love to talk about here in St. Louis, and some of them are very popular, but give me a couple of obscure places where food has become a real hot item.
Oh, for sure. Well, so, yeah, the second edition of the book, we also changed a little bit from the first edition and divided it up by theme, so there's a whole food and drink category. So one of the things, speaking of Sugar Fire, one of the things we focused on was the explosion of good barbecue in this town. And, of course, Sugar Fire and Pappy's and some of those are pretty well known. A place that I like that I put in the book that's a little bit off the beaten path is Vernon's Barbecue over on Vernon Avenue in U-City. And one of the things I love about it, literally everything they make goes on the smoker. So you've got things you would expect, your ribs, your chicken, all that stuff. But they also smoke all their veggies. They smoke their desserts. So they've got, like, smoked fruit in the summer, smoked pears and things like that that I would have never thought of that are delicious. So it's definitely worth people checking out.
Now, with you not initially being from St. Louis, you've really taken a liking to the community for sure. So how did that come about where you decided, all right, I'm a writer, I'm living in a different city, and I've come up with this idea of things that I probably should explore more, even though I didn't go to high school in St. Louis?
I know, right. I think it maybe you got to be curious about where you are to find out all this stuff. And it's, you know, I'm not from here. So when I got here, it was a totally new place to me. I've been here 20 years now, so I guess I kind of qualify for something. But just having that curiosity, and anybody can do it, but I think when you're new to a place and you're an outsider, you're more likely to want to do it, to spend the time. And, you know, when I got here, I also didn't have a job, so I had enough time to be knocking around a little bit.
There you go.
Didn't have kids. Those were the days when I could just roll around and do whatever I wanted.
Well, that sounds like a pretty neat setup. Now, you had a book signing recently, and it's my understanding that this is going to be one of the hot holiday items as far as people giving to each other. And certainly people who aren't from St. Louis, this is really kind of a how-to guide for them and probably something that you'll see on a lot of coffee tables around town.
Well, I mean, that's what I hope. And I call it the glove compartment book because it's a little book. It's not, you know, huge. And it's also meant to be, you open up a page, each of the entries is, you know, maybe 150 to 300 words. It's designed to get you out and doing stuff. I mean, I'm a writer. I like to think you're sitting around reading every single word. But really, what I hope you're doing is taking that inspiration and going out and doing it. So it is a great gift because it's something that anyone that you know could find something they want to do in there. You don't have to worry like, oh, well, maybe this is too focused on kids and they don't have kids. There's something for everybody in this book, for sure.
I mentioned you were taking suggestions from friends and people that you've gotten to know here in St. Louis. What was the one thing that you kept coming back to? Because I'm sure there's something that everybody found they were able to connect the dot to.
You know, I mean, food is a big one, yeah. Honestly. And if it's either some of the food entries are literally places to go eat, but some of the ones that are connected to food are things like your neighborhood farmer's market. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Ferguson Farmer's Market. It's one of my favorite places. I think it's one of the best markets going, but it's also one of the, it's a real community connector. And just so many people feel an ownership to it. So anything related to food, you can't go wrong with that.
You certainly can't. Hey, are you taking suggestions for the third edition already?
I absolutely. I have a note in my phone, and I have a little notebook in my car that I keep it in. And if people want to give me ideas, the book has a Facebook page. You can find it. It's facebook.com/100thingsstl. But I love suggestions because to me that just gives me something else to go check out. So
sounds
for sure.
Great. I'm excited for you. It's a great read. It's a short read and it's a fun read for people who are looking to find out more about St. Louis. And hopefully they all plan on living a long, healthy life where they can do all of those things.
Indeed. And sticking around St. Louis and help keep making this a better place to be.
Amanda Doyle, thank you so much for the time. Once again, folks, the name of the book, 100 Things to Do in St. Louis Before You Die by Amanda Doyle. Thank you again, and best of luck, and let's stay in touch. I can't wait to read the third edition.
Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, if you think that college degree is important, well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how effective degrees are now and where it can take you and your loved ones. Stand by. We've got more coming up here on Your Voice, KMOX. We continue with At Your Service. We're on KMOX. I'm Mike Claiborne. And as you know, when it comes to the youth of America who graduates from college and they're looking for that first job, it may be a little challenging as getting an education and what they do with it once they get out of a school has become something that we'd never anticipated. There are nearly 6 million people who are currently out of school and out of work, and despite the fact there are more than 7 million vacancies across the country, young people are facing a real challenge when it comes to the opportunity divide that could be an economic game changer. With us today, we're going to have a chance to visit with Gerald Chertavian, and he's part of what the Harvard Business School Accenture grads of life will be releasing a report. And, Gerald, let's talk a little bit about it, and also welcome to KMOX.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for having me, Mike. I appreciate it. And the research we're releasing, which has been done by Accenture, Harvard Business School, and Grads of Life, is shining a light on something really important that's happening, is that a lot of businesses are requiring a four-year degree for jobs that can be proven don't actually need a four-year degree. And two things are happening once they do that, is that companies are paying more, they are taking longer to hire folks, those individuals often turn over faster, and they're less diverse. So for companies, it's a cost of actually requiring that degree when you really don't need it. And then for the individual who may have a two-year degree or experience or a certificate, gets locked out of that labor market and therefore doesn't have access to a job that could pay livable wages to help take care of their families.
Now, we've been told over the course of time that education is the key. The high school diploma was the first objective, followed by some college, then a degree that would result in pursuing continuing education. Are there too many people that may be overqualified as well as lacking work experience because they stayed in school a little longer?
Well, about a third of the adults in this country have a degree. So no matter what we do, there's only one out of three adults who actually have that four-year degree. And the unemployment rate for a college degree, four-year college degree holders, is only 2.3%. So generally that group is doing pretty well. But what's happening is often they're taking jobs perhaps which they may not want, which are in jobs that traditionally went to people who didn't have a four-year degree. So there's that mismatch that's going on that is unfortunately not benefiting business and locking a lot of people out of the labor market. If you can imagine, Mike, 90% of big companies use a automated kind of bot to filter out resumes before they're looked at. And if you say four-year degrees required, you're filtering out two-thirds of all Americans, 77% of African-Americans, and 84% of Latinos. So you're really reducing the pool of talent you could look at.
Gerald Jartavian is with us. We're talking about the degrees and the education and the workforce. Now, non-degreed employees have shown that they have more than just become worker bees, as they become more productive in a lot of cases compared to their degree counterparts. Why is that?
Well, I think we're recognizing now that the skills and competencies you need obviously continue to grow. Employers want people who have what I call the ABCs, attitudinal, behavioral, and communication skills, kind of those soft skills, teamwork, communication. They also need higher levels of technical skills. You can often get that through experience, through working with others, through demonstrating you have those skills and competencies. So often having experience may give you what you need, but remember, if you're filtering out all the resumes that don't have a four-year degree, you will never see that talent. And part of this initiative is helping employers to see all talent that's out there and to recognize when they don't do that, it actually costs them a lot of money.
Speaking of money, what do you say to that aspiring college-bound student or the parent who saved a lot of money and now is going to have to take out a loan to ensure their kids have a better chance at a better education because of so much information that's been provided to everyone? What do you say to that current situation? Because we've all been taught that the education is the key, and now we're kind of getting an idea that maybe experience comes over education.
Well, I would say it's still in this world, we're going to still require for sure as much education as we can consume. It won't always be through $250,000 private education, which many folks can't even begin to afford in this country. So the concept of you will be learning for your life, it won't just be for 4 years in college, is one concept to be thinking about. The other is, if you're going to college today and you get paying that money, what is the success, what are the results that that institution is providing for the folks who are going there? So what's their rate of connecting people to good jobs? What are the average pay coming out of some of these institutions? So I would be a very discerning buyer of higher education. I would want to see the metrics in the results that they've been able to produce for their graduates, and I would spend my money very wisely in those institutions that were helping me get what I wanted, which was hopefully access to the education that allows me to have a good job and a good life.
You know, that'll be an interesting measurable, because a lot of kids, when they go to college, they don't know what they want to be. They just say, well, I got to go to college, and they don't declare a major. Then when they do declare it, they realize they don't want it. They don't want to do that. Hence, they go into something else. And once they go through that whole rigmarole, they still may not be satisfied because they can't get the job that they thought they were going to be trained for.
Absolutely right, Mike. You hit on I think an important point is we're not doing enough in our middle and high schools to prepare young people to know what are those jobs going to be like. So they're not getting the exposure, the awareness, some of the experiential activity, internships, shadowing, where they can start to see, well, what do different people do in different vocations, which would help them when they get to college, to know why am I studying a certain discipline? What does it lead to? So we have to back this up as well and help those middle schoolers and high schoolers to get more awareness around what their options are, and hopefully not waste 1 or 2 years of college doing something which you end up saying, I really am not interested in doing.
Well, it sounds to me that we need to have three factions in the room. We need to have the professional workforce, we need to have the universities and colleges, and we need to have the high schools, and maybe the even junior high schools, all in the room to make sure they're all on the same page as far as what they're able to provide.
You are so right, Mike. So what we'd say to that is business and education have to be much more aligned going forward. Business needs to communicate what are the skills and competencies they're most interested in. And educational institutions need to ask honestly, are we producing the graduates that are meeting your needs? Right now, 90% of college presidents say they are preparing young people that meet the needs of business, and only 11% of CEOs are agreeing with that statement. So there's a mismatch that we have to get aligned around, really, to take best care of our young people in this country.
So where is the middle ground here, where both degreed and non-degreed individuals aspiring to have very successful careers, where is the middle ground here where we can get everybody on the same page from a workforce standpoint?
Great question. So I think the middle ground is starting with the employer, and you know the folks like Accenture are doing incredibly good work here around the country. Big financial services like Bank of America, J.P. Morgan are doing this as we speak. Is they have to say there are multiple pathways to come into this organization. One will always be a four-year college degree, but guess what? That's only a third of all adults. There are community colleges, which if we partner intelligently with, we can get great talent from that pipeline. There are community-based organizations and certificate programs. So what we've got to do is have multiple pathways which are valued and valuable from education into the workforce, and companies need to broaden that view as to who's talented, where do we look for talent, and how do we assess that talent to come in. That'll help align the system. It starts with the employer, and the employer then is helping to align those pathways into their company. That would help our whole economy. It would certainly help our tax base and keep us competitive as a country.
All right, Gerald Chertavian, one final question for you. If I'm a parent listening to this show, or a student, or maybe a high school counselor, where can I get more information, whereas I make the next decision a good decision with regard to college and or continued education?
Well, one website to go to is gradsoflife.org. gradsoflife.org. And if you're an employer, you're looking to hire folks, that helps you understand, well, who would you work with locally to help find great talent that you might be overlooking today? That's one area you can certainly go to on the employer side to figure out, well, who might I be missing out there that could help me to hire the best possible folks in my company? And we hope you all do that.
Gerald, this is a fascinating subject, and hopefully we have parents and students and counselors who are paying attention, because I think we've all seen this coming, and now it's here, and we don't know what to do, especially with so many jobs available. We got to fill them somehow with the right people. Hey, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Mike, thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to the Caribbean. Yes, it's open for business, and I'll tell you all about it when we come back. We continue with At Your Service. I'm Mike Claiborne. We're going to talk about something fun now. Now, as you know, the hurricane season was not good to the islands in the Caribbean, and many were certainly devastated. The tourism business, $60 billion it means to that part of the world, and everything in the Caribbean, well, if you think it's closed, think again. With us today is the Emmy Award winner. She's also a consumer tech and lifestyle columnist. It's a pleasure to visit with Jennifer Jolly. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, one of the best parts of my job is all the travel tech I get to cover. So hopefully we'll be talking a lot about that today.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah. As I mentioned, despite the devastation in the islands, they're open for business. How did they get back on their feet so quickly, or were there's some islands spared during the storms?
Well, it's a little of both, really. You know, most people have no idea that the Caribbean region spans more than 1 million square miles, and the vast majority of the top destinations did not get hit by hurricanes at all. A lot of people don't know that, though, so they're really worried about going there. But, you know, of course, there are a handful of islands that do need our continued help with recovery efforts. In the meantime, the Florida Caribbean Cruise Council says 90% of the island regions of the Caribbean are ready for tourists. They're already welcoming tourists in with open arms. And the best way to help them is to go visit, because they rely heavily on tourism for their continued success and growth.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry there. And yeah. I'm a big cruiser myself, and I love the Caribbean. And I've always told people, if you want to see the Caribbean, the cruise is probably my best suggestion, because you're on a floating resort and you only unpack once.
Oh, right. But then you still get to disembark and go on
excursions. Yeah.
You can see all the best of everything. You can get out and do what the locals do whenever you get to one of those ports. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. And then you can go back to have every amenity at your beck and call. And, you know, talk about how much tourism helps this area. People who book a cruise now help with recovery efforts by contributing $500,000 every cruise. Every single cruise visit generates $500,000 for the overall economy of that region. So it truly is one of the best ways to help. And I was talking with someone down there a couple of days ago, and they said, you know, it's almost like a double whammy. First, we have to deal with the storms, but then we have to deal with people's perception of the storms.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what they're trying to get people to understand right now, is the best way to help, book a ticket right now.
And you'll find some good deals in certain places, I'm sure. But with the shortage of hotels, because some islands were hurt more than others, you don't really want to wait too long, do you? Because they're going to try and dispel the rumors and concerns. And once people realize it's okay to go back, hotels are going to be at a premium.
That's exactly right. And 90% of the regions are completely open. It's business as usual. So you can't beat those spectacular beaches. We're coming up on one of the busiest times of the year, of course, the holiday season. You've got spectacular beaches, crystal clear tropical water, and as you know, the vibrant towns and villages that make the Caribbean and will continue, you know, to have the Caribbean being one of the world's most popular destinations. And another big trend this year, more travelers from the United States. So they're leaving from the United States, traveling through the Caribbean islands. So we expect that to continue to grow. All kinds of reasons to go now.
So I want to ask you this as we visit with Jennifer Jolly. You're the tech expert. How can I take advantage of the tech age and make that dream Caribbean vacation take place?
Oh, well, that is my favorite question to answer right there. You can start online. So you know what's been really unique about this within the cruise and travel industries is how those industries have banded together to help support the relief efforts as well as to keep things moving along in a healthy way in the Caribbean. So when you start thinking about that cruise and looking at cruises, go straight to the cruise line websites. You can surf through a few of those. There are some really impressive incentives and deals right now. And then there's a new website that popped up just for this reason. It's called CaribbeanIsOpen.com. It's a new site with all the very latest information. There's new photographs, a map with updates on the status of the region's ports, and answers to any ongoing questions or concerns. And then another way you're going to be able to use tech very soon to make this easier than ever is with an Amazon Echo device. So to book a cruise, you could just have to say, Alexa, call Cruise Planners, or Alexa, call my travel agent. And travel agents, you know, that's something a lot of us did away with a while back.
Oh, no, they've made a comeback.
Oh, huge comeback. And it's really more relevant than ever in the cruise industry. There are travel agents that exist just for that. And a great insider tip, and hopefully you already know this one as a cruiser, cruisecritic.com, fabulous resource as well.
How long do you think it's going to take to get everything back to normal? And do you envision a lot of these places who have to start over again, when they do come back, it'll be bigger and better and maybe more up to date?
Oh, man, I wish I had my dream vacation crystal ball. Here's what I know for sure. 90% of the places that you love to visit most, you won't really notice anything has changed. You know, they dusted the sand off the welcome mats, and they're ready and waiting with open arms. I also know that, that generous spirit, that everything that you love about visiting the Caribbean, it's like going through these disasters just brings people all that much closer together. As for the regions that still need so much help and so much support, I think recovery efforts in the hardest hit regions will be slow. They will be ongoing. The cruise industry has helped a lot with supplies, and the cruise and tourism industries got together and raised millions of dollars. We hope those efforts pay off. But I do expect it'll be bigger and better than ever. And that we'll be talking about this again maybe a year from now, saying, okay, they're open. Now really go again. You know, you'll get hooked this year and maybe make it an annual event.
All right, as we visit with Jennifer Jolly. All right, Jennifer, you know all about the consumer technology and your lifestyle columnist. So give me Jennifer's personal recommendation for one of the best-kept secrets in the Caribbean to visit.
Oh, my gosh. There are so many. I absolutely, oh my gosh, I love, Aruba. Snorkeling is one of my all-time favorite things to do in the Caribbean. I also love to hike. You know, a lot of people think that a cruise, well, you might stay on the ship, but as you mentioned earlier, it's getting off in those areas and towns. And I really like to hike or rent a bicycle and just kind of go off the beaten path a little bit and see a lot of things on my own.
Sounds like a plan, and there's some great hiking countries to go to. And you and I probably need to hang out because I like some of the same things you just talked about. Now, how can people stay in touch and follow what you're all about, and you can continue to update people on what's going on in the Caribbean?
Well, the very best place to go for information is CaribbeanIsOpen.com. That's going to be the website that has the latest and greatest information. If you have any specific questions for me or want to reach out for any additional information, you can go to techish.com or even jenniferjolly.com, and I'll be posting updates from there as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going on a cruise in January, so I'm looking forward to getting there and having a great time like I always do. And thanks to you, I'm a little bit more excited about knowing that things are going to be moving in a positive direction with the reconstruction of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and you know, what you can also feel really, really good about is that you're helping as well. So, you know, this is a philanthropic trip.
I like that idea. That's a good move. I'm going to go with that.
Good.
I'm going to go with that.
Exactly. And where are you going?
I'm going Western Caribbean.
Oh, and January. What an amazing time to go.
It is.
Well,
hey, Jennifer.
Cheers to you.
Thank you so much for your time. Best of luck, and keep us updated on life in the Caribbean.
All right. Will do.
All right. Have a wonderful trip. She's Jennifer Jolly. I'm Mike Claiborne on Your Voice here in St. Louis and, in my opinion, around the world.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.